Look to the Lord. Our blessed God and our Father, we do thank Thee for this opportunity again to speak of the One, our Lord Jesus, that came from glory on high, from Thy side, and took His place down here as a man, and suffered the cruel cross at Calvary for us. Lord Jesus, we thank You, and we praise You for that precious blood that was shed so many years ago that is still in full effect today. Nothing has changed. And we thank Thee that whoever will may come and still find the blessing and salvation and eternal life. Father, we thank Thee tonight, and we pray for each and every soul here. Those that know the Lord as their Savior would be refreshed, and those that have not yet decided that they would come to the Lord Jesus. We ask this in Thy Son's most precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I can only say that in preparation for this, I have made some notes, and it is the grace of God that many of the notes that I have written down have been spoken about already here. And you'll recognize them as we go through this. But one of the things that I had in my mind is the ones that have been around Christianity, that have embraced it, that have followed it, but have not yet accepted Christ as their Savior. They are walking and talking with believers, but yet do not have that security in their lives. One of the first things that the Lord spoke to His creation, "Where art thou? Where art thou?" And that's a question I ask each and every one tonight. Where art thou? It says, we know that Adam and Eve sinned. And in Romans it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And it says, "The wages of sin is death." That sounds pretty hopeless. It sounds like there's nothing but despair. And if you don't read on, that is where you are. That is where you stopped. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." But if we read on, "Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." And if we finish the verse in chapter 6, it says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Where art thou? Another question I have for you is, what do you think of Jesus? There's some many times I know everyone in here has shared the gospel with someone, of the adults, the little ones. I hope you have spoken the gospel to your friends in school. I know it's hard. It's very hard to do that. I'm too far gone for God. I have no hope. I've gotten that reply. I don't need it. It's for others. I think there's a way. I just haven't found it yet. I'm working on it. I go to church. And this is the one that concerns me. I was raised in a Christian home, so I'm okay. These are the ones that have embraced the truth and have heard the gospel many times. I am not a bad person. I've done a lot of good things. Every one of them starts with I. And if you try to stand before a just and holy God in the first tense, you're lost. The one I enjoy is, I was lost, but God. We can look in that in Ephesians chapter 2. We'll read some verses in there. I was lost, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places together in Christ Jesus. The wages, that is in the ages to come, that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man could boast. Those first ones that I read, I think I used them, except for maybe one. I was raised in a Christian home. I'm working on it. I go to church. And I remember telling a man, I think you're better than I am. You think you know it all. And when I made that statement, I didn't know anything. But it was pride inside that was speaking. If we look in John chapter 1, but we'll look somewhere else. I got something else first that I want to bring out. In Psalm 40 verse 1, it says, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book written of me. In Hebrews it says, I come to do thy will, O God. I come to do thy will. Twice it says that. Who is saying that? That is the one we sang of in that first hymn, Come, 'tis Jesus gently calling. When things went bad in the garden, Adam and Eve sinned, and they broke their communion with God. I can say that God had the right at that time to just scrap everything and start over. But he had something on his mind before the worlds began. Lo, I come to do thy will. In John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That tells us God had a plan for man and his failure. We see it says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What do you think of Jesus? I've got some things that I want to share with you about time. That was been brought up. And I just kept thinking in my mind, do I even need to get up here? Everything's being talked about. I couldn't believe it, but it was just, for me, it was reassurance that what I have is what the Lord wants talked about. As Don said before when he prayed, that the words would be from God. And in time and timing, we have different things happening. I'm going to tell you a brief history of myself, which is kind of irrelevant, but I work on cars, I do 24-hour towing and recovery, and I worked on the ambulance for several years. An 18-year-old girl and her 2-year-old son, they were on their way to Marengo, where I live, and she sent a text message, be there in a couple minutes. She hit a patch of ice. The car spun around and it went into the ditch. We got a call to go out. I was running my wrecker that day. The car caught fire. They went into eternity that day, that morning. A text message. I say that to caution everyone that has a phone. They didn't see that patch of ice, and it was just a small piece. They went into eternity. The other day, there was an accident. There was a semi and a train. The driver of the semi was 38, and he had his 14-year-old son with him. Derailed 20 cars. Destroyed the semi. You couldn't even recognize it. The 38-year-old survived. The 14-year-old did not. That was at 12:30 p.m. The girl and her son was at 8 o'clock in the morning. 54 years ago, there was a motorcycle accident. Man was hauled to the hospital. Broken up pretty good. Severely bleeding. And what he heard as he was being prepared for surgery was, the nurse said, "What do we do about his leg?" And the doctor said, "Don't worry about his leg. Let's keep him alive." Those are 5 people. That man survived. There was a man from heaven that God sent, his only beloved son. In Genesis, we have of Abraham telling his son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And we read, it says, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book to do thy will, O God. We can see that man failed, but God, in His mercy, has provided that lamb for each and every one of us because we are lost in our sins until we find Christ. There's no second chance. I've heard many of these excuses. I don't need it. It's for others. That's pride. I am too far gone for God. I have no hope. That was one of my favorites. I didn't care. But God did. That's why I love that verse. But God, who is rich in His mercy, He looked down and He saw me, and He's looked at everyone in here, and He saw you, and He said, I want that one. I sent my Son for that one. And I don't know what's keeping anyone from coming to Christ, because it's free. But the one that has me most concerned is, I was raised in a Christian home, so I'm okay. My parents are believers, so I'm okay. My cousins are believers, my sisters, my brothers, so I'm okay. No, you're not. You are not okay because you are responsible to come to Christ on your own, not from someone else. We cannot have or think that someone can do something for us other than the Lord Jesus. I was raised in a Catholic home, and I had a lot of things that were taught to me that were wrong. And I think one of the greatest things that I had to admit was to this man that was preaching to me was, I was wrong. The things he was telling me was correct, but I would combat with him, and I didn't have a leg to stand on. We had that 18-year-old girl and her 2-year-old son. And I'll be honest with you, that's one of the worst accidents I've been on. I've seen a lot of them. I've seen a lot of people that have gone into eternity. And I have no idea where many of them are right now. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. God sent His only begotten Son, His beloved Son, down here. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was perfect. There was nothing wrong with Him, the Lamb without spot, rejected, crucified. And it took me a while, but I finally laid hold of the truth that that blood that came from that pierced side, from that Roman soldier that was just doing his job, go ahead, poke him. Make sure he's dead. And came that life-saving blood and water from our Lord Jesus. He cried out, "It is finished. There is nothing left but to come." As it says, we sang, "Come, 'tis Jesus gently calling." And when Christ died on that cross, and they buried Him, God again could have said, I'm done with humanity. I'm done. I don't want anything to do with these creatures anymore. They've killed my son. But that wasn't the purpose. The purpose was to provide a way for everyone to come and spend time with the Father. I've heard my brother Don say many times that it's been the desire of the Father to have children. It's been the desire of the Lord Jesus to have a bride. And when you accept that precious blood, accept that as the provision for your sins, you become a child of God and part of the bride of Christ. The body of Christ. And that's something that will take, I'm still working on getting my head wrapped around the love and the grace of God and the things that He has prepared for us. In Philippians it says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. That's quite interesting. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Because Christ did not only die. He died according to the Scriptures, and He was buried. But He rose again the third day. There is no other one that rose again the third day. None whatsoever. Only the Lord Jesus. God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. As I read, that I may know Him. He wants to know you. He wants to have that relationship with you. But you cannot have that until you come to Him and confess your sins. And it says you confess the Lord Jesus Christ with your mouth and with your heart, as it says in Romans. You confess the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, as the one who died for me. As I said, if we don't read all the verses, it sounds hopeless. But God gave us hope. It says in Ecclesiastes, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Have. That is right now. As our brother said before this meeting, now is the time of salvation. Today. Not tomorrow. These five people got up that morning. We're heading through their day. The man with the semi picked up a brand new tractor up in Waterloo and was headed south to Missouri with it. He was probably talking to his son. We're going to stop up here at the 21 exit and we're going to get lunch. And then we're going to head home. The 18-year-old girl texted her babysitter and said, I'll be there in a couple minutes. The man on the motorcycle got up that morning, worked all day, came home, went out for a ride on his motorcycle. Every one of them had plans for the next day and the day after and the next week. But we're not promised that. God did not promise us tomorrow. That's why it says today is the day of salvation. If you prolong it even past this afternoon, it may be forever too late. And I had a brother at our Bible study here a couple weeks ago, and he made a comment that really stuck in my head. He said that there is no one going into hell that has not walked past the outstretched arms of Jesus. Think about that. What think ye of Jesus? He outstretched his arms and cried, "It is finished." The perfect sacrifice for fallen man. Whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. I ran across that listening to Brother Lundeen. He was speaking on Ecclesiastes and he was speaking on Song of Solomon. And I have a note here that says, "Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved." And I think about what Brother Don spoke today. "Yea, he is altogether lovely. There is none like him. And he is coming again. There is no other one, no other Savior like Jesus. There is none like him. Whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever." Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It says in the book of Hebrews, I read those verses a little bit ago, in chapter 10, "Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God." In verse 9 it says that again. Verse 10 it says, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Verse 12, "This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever and sat down at the right hand of God." And verse 17 says, "In their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever." God sent his Son, one sacrifice. The Lord Jesus came down from heaven to die for you and for me. And I hope that you don't have the thought in your mind that you're okay, because I've got relatives that are saved. I've got friends that are saved. I've been hanging around with them, so I should be okay. Or you've done a lot of good things. It's not by works. It is a free gift of God. In the first part of Hebrews, in chapter 1, it says, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty." The Father expressed his complete acceptance of that offering by saying, "Come here and sit by me." And now the Lord Jesus is saying unto you, "Come. Come unto me." Are you heavy laden? Are you burdened? Do you have thoughts that you don't think that you're good enough? Well, neither was I. I'm too far gone for God. That's putting limitations on His grace and mercy. No one is too far gone. We get that exception and we get that description at the cross. The thief. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. There is none like him. Yea, he is altogether lovely. And he wants you. He wants you to share his love with. Like I said, those five people had plans, but the timing wasn't quite what they expected. But God provided a lamb in our stead. He provided a lamb for a sacrifice. Because it says we are worthy of death. The wages of sin is death. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We've heard those terms mentioned many times so far this weekend. In Christ Jesus. And I hope that before you even leave here, this room, that you are all in Christ Jesus. Because if you are not, you might find yourself in an eternity you don't want tomorrow morning. Everyone has plans. I've got plans. I've got plans that go on through to the end of this year. But I can honestly tell you, I will only say it, Lord willing. I cannot tell you that I will be here tomorrow or the next day. I know that if something would happen to me, where I would be. And I've told many people this. I want all of you with me. When I get there, I'll be looking. I don't know what it's going to be like. What glory in heaven is going to be. There's been many things said about it. But I know that's where I want you to be. Because you don't have to be still languishing in your sins. Because if you come before God in the present tense, the first tense, I, then there's no hope. Except if you say, I was lost, but God. God who is rich in His mercy, wherewith He loved me, and gave Himself for me. I think about that. The Song of Solomon, it comes to my mind quite often. Yea, He is altogether lovely. He's coming again, and soon. Paul wrote about it. He will be coming soon. And we're 2,000 years closer now than when Paul wrote that. So it could be any minute. For whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. I hope that you choose forever with God. And all you have to do is to bow your head and confess Christ. And ask Him to come into your life. And I think about that. As I said before, I'm too far gone for God. I have no hope. Come as you are. God can do the cleanup. He is willing and He's able. We cannot shorten or try to take away from the power that God has. We'll sing the last two stanzas of that number two. That's a hymn that I've always enjoyed. Come, 'tis Jesus gently calling. Like I said, God could have at any time pulled the plug on this earth and just cast it away. But His love was overpowering. And He had a design and He had a purpose. And that was for a bride for His Son. Sing verse number two there. Those five people that I mentioned, they all had plans. I didn't say this at the beginning, but that fifth one that was on that motorcycle stands before you tonight, pleading, come to the Lord Jesus. Because it could be forever too late. On that night, I would have gone to hell. And rightfully so. I wouldn't have had any qualms or argument with God. But He saw different. But God. Should we pray? Our loving God and our Father, we do thank Thee tonight for this time that we can talk about our Lord Jesus, the one who came down from heaven above, became a man, and went to Calvary's cross. We've said this so many times, but Lord, we plead for those here that might be only embracing and not taking a hold of it. Father, we pray for those and all the children here also, that they might at an early age find Christ. Lord Jesus, we cannot thank You enough, and we praise You for that finished work and for the blessed hope that we have. Lord, we have not only salvation, but resurrection life. We thank Thee tonight. We pray for each and every one here, for the blessings, for their soul, for hearing this gospel again, And for those that have not yet decided, we just pray, Lord, that you would convict their hearts tonight. We thank thee and we praise thee in thy most precious and worthy name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.